friends, and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest as we continue our conversation on the Nation of Islam. We've covered only the highlights here of what the Nation of Islam does and doesn't believe. We're ready to take more of your phone calls and spend this hour with your phone calls, your questions, your comments, and your email as well. Dr. Jerry Buckner is pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship, adjunct professor of Golden Gate Baptist Seminary. He is director of Contending for the Faith Ministries, and he's authored an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. Dr. Buckner, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back in the second hour.
Let's go right to the phones. Dave in Des Lages, Missouri. Dave, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, I'm right here. My question is, why is it that not only Nation of Islam, but the Moorish Science Temple of America, they seem like they have such a stranglehold where I work at? I work in a corrections institutional facility near where I live here that's run by the state of Missouri. It just seemed like there's a great number of Nation of Islam and Moorish Science Temple of America members that are in prison. And you can't hardly talk to them about Christianity for nothing. And I agree with what the doctor said, everything he said. I had some of the same discussions with them, and it's just like there's almost no swaying them. Your comments, please.
Dave, thank you. Dr. Buckner, how do you explain the popularity of the Nation of Islam in our nation's prison?
That's a very good question, Dave, and thank you for that question. Well, there are several reasons. One is, I think Walter Martin, my mentor, said it so well. He says that the cults are the unpaid bills of a church. Because we have not paid our bills spiritually, the cults have come in and done it for us. When you look at somebody like going all the way back to Malcolm X and then Ironhead Tyson, the ones that reached out to them first was the Nation of Islam. And you have to ask the question, where was the church? The church was nowhere to be found. And so the cults are the unpaid bills of the church. And secondly, when the Nation of Islam get there before the church, they implant in them racism that you're here because of the white man, and the white man is this and the white man is that. And so they feed into the anger. There's a lot of black people are angry with the system, angry with the whites, and angry at a lot of the judges who are white. So they go in there and they say, it's okay to be angry. They sanctify the anger, and they say, it's all right to hate the white man. He's the devil. And so that attracts them as well. And so those are some of the major reasons why there's such an alarming attraction to the Nation of Islam, because they are there making a difference, and the church is not. You know, Chuck Colson is doing some things, but you have to say to yourself, where are the other churches at? Where are the other members of the body of Christ at in this matter? And they're nowhere to be found. So if you're nowhere to be found, then the cults are going to come in, and they will be found.
To David in Minneapolis. David, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, I am asking you. Your Bible was translated by a homosexual, King James, all right? So what makes your Bible better than the Quran?
Thank you, David. Dr. Buckner, it has been rumored that King James, who oversaw the translation of that 15th, 16th century English version of the Bible, may have been of questionable sexual orientation. Does that invalidate Holy Scripture?
Well, that's a very good question, and I appreciate the question, David. Let me just respond to your question by saying this, that there has been some talks about King James being homosexual, and I'm not going to deny that. Many of the people and the Roman emperors and leaders and during that time even were homosexuals. Now, when it comes to the Bible, King James had nothing to do with the Bible. The only thing that he had to do with the Bible was that the Christians needed to get permission from him to publish it. They couldn't do it unless they went through the king and got his permission to publish it, or they would be killed. So he gave them permission and authorized it to be, published, and they just put his name down in honor of it so that the people would know that he authorized it. But as far as translating it and having something to do with the writing of it, you're greatly mistaken, and please don't go forth telling people that, because you'll be misrepresenting not only the Jesus Christ and the Bible, but the entire Christian church.
David, hang on the line, if you would. I'm going to send you a copy of this book we're giving away to our best callers in this hour. Was the God of Jesus the God of the Father of Jesus the God of Mohammed? So stay on the line. Jeff will get your information there. David, thank you very much for your phone call. Philip calls from Springfield, Missouri. Philip, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I have two questions.
Sure.
Does the Nation of Islam still keep its membership number secret? And how does the Nation of Islam explain the existence of other races besides African and Caucasian?
Two very good questions. Thank you, Philip. Okay, one at a time here. What about the secrecy of its membership, the numbers, who's a member? Is that something still practiced?
Yes, it is. It's something that the Nation of Islam has really never really exposed the numbers of people that they have in their organization. Some people have argued that 19,000 to 30,000 members. But when you consider a lot of people, Christians who are black in churches who support Farrakhan because he's a voice in defense of their rights, you know, it far exceeds 30,000 to more than that, because there's a lot of people supporting who even go to churches. They're wrong in doing it. But cults are secret anyway, you know, and he's just an example of the secrecy of a cult. So it's always been a thing that they've done because they really don't want nobody to know anything about them and what's going on, because they feel that the white man is always trying to, bug them and somehow get insight about their movement, the mosque, and everything else. So they've always been very secretive about that, and they still remain that way.
Philip's second question had to do with how the Nation of Islam, if it does hold up the black race as the only true race of true human beings, explains the existence of, well, we'll use the term other races, even though we know from God's word that there is but one race, the race of Adam. How do they explain the difference of other skin colors and other apparent races?
Right. That's a very good question. And let me just go to this point by saying that the Nation of Islam, in terms of the white and the black race, that they teach, just like, you know, here again, is taking things from the Bible, that, you know, at one time Lucifer rebelled against God. So they take the example of that, and they say that there was a black scientist by the name of Yaqub, and he had all of these 24 different gods and leaders that were in heaven at one time. And Yaqub, a black scientist, fell out with the other gods, the black gods, and his way of getting back at the black race of gods was to create a white race of devils to get back at them. And how they explain the brown race and that sort of thing, they just say that later on, as time went on, that many of the blacks started to, because of the locations that they were in, their skin started to get fairer. And they even go as far as saying that this black scientist even mixed the skins together and kind of had a mixture race too. So it's very confusing. And really, it's getting into the whole idea of explaining the issue of sin and explaining the issue of one's identity. Who are we as a people? They always have been into that. Who are we as a people? The way they explain that is trying to explain how sin came about, and we know the Bible gives an answer for that, and then they also try to explain their identity, and they come up with this myth of Yaqub.
We have one free phone line here, and we're taking your phone calls with Dr. Jerry Buckner on the Nation of Islam, 1-800-730 2727. Before we go to this break, let's talk with James in Oakland. James, welcome.
Yes, I'd like to say that the Muslims, it's not, they're not a polytheist. They're not polytheism. They believe in one God, Allah, and they do believe in the hereafter.
Are you talking about Islam or the Nation of Islam?
The Nation of Islam. They believe in, they're not polytheists. They believe in Allah, one God, and they do believe in the hereafter.
All right, James, let's get Dr. Buckner's response, and thank you for that call as well. Dr. Buckner, you said before that there is what you called black polytheism at work in the Nation of Islam, and that their view of the hereafter, they have kind of an annihilationist view for all except for Elijah Muhammad. You have 1 minute, and I'll give you some time on the other side of the break if you need it.
Okay. Well, let me just first say this, James. I would encourage you to look at the book entitled Elijah Muhammad, Our Savior Has Arrived. And if you look in that book, he talks about the many different black gods and how, those who join the Nation of Islam will become a black god through the tribe of Shabazz. And then also, too, the Nation of Islam has never given an explanation for what happens to a person after they die. It's over with. There's no such thing as going to a heaven in the sky. They've always rebutted that, rebuked that, because Christians have always talked about that, and they have rebutted that and say our heaven is really and hell is really on earth, and that's it, and that's the end of the story for them.
Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. We're talking about the Nation of Islam and taking your phone calls. We'll be back with more of that after this.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues, Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest as we talk about the Nation of Islam. Take your questions and your comments, both by phone, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and via email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you've got a question or a comment on the Nation of Islam, now's the time to call, 1-800-730-2727. Pat is listening in St. Louis. Pat, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. My question is that there are so many blacks that are drawn to the cults, and particularly cults that started out believing or condemning blacks, saying that they could not be saved or they were children of Satan and all types of things, such as the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and now the Nation of Islam, who never made that original claim. But what is it that the black community is missing that so many blacks are drawn to these cults and groups?
Pat, thank you very much. Dr. Buckner, this is a kind of a broader version of a previous caller's question. He talked about the prison population. But what about blacks in general? How would you respond to that?
Well, that's a very good question. And I would say that one of the things that draws so many people to cults as a whole is that they have mastered in developing ministries to the total person. They will deal with the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, and the psychological, and like the Nation of Islam, they will give you a bean pie and a bow tie. It's all a big lie. And so they master in not only the spiritual, but the physical. And they see the hurting needs of people, and they go after those needs. And the church is weak in the area of really balancing out ministry. We used to emphasize in the 1980s and the 70s and 80s soul winning. I always had a problem with that because we need to be involved with the whole person winning. And because that's what Jesus was about. When you really do a serious study of Matthew 25, you find that he says, I was hungry, you fed me not, thirsty, you gave me no drink, sick and in prison, you visit me not, and as much as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not unto me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life everlasting. So he fed people spiritually, and he fed them physically. The church is weak and impotent in really balancing out ministering to people on a balanced level. And that's the thing that draws so many people to cults. Jim Jones was masterful at that. When 916 people were killed in 1978 in Guyana. So we need to really wake up to balancing out ministry, not because the cults are doing it, but because Jesus commanded us to do that.
BB is listening in Baltimore. BB, thank you for calling. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, I would like to make a comment about the nation, about Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam. I think it was in 1980 or 1989, the other Muslims issued a fatwa on Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. They said they were blasphemous.
And you have a question on that, Bibi, or are you just asking for some clarification?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the gentleman, how in the world can black folks follow suffer a religion that called them ugly, raisin head, pug nosed black slaves, and called black women a sign of a bad disease? It's in their hadith.
Thank you very much, BB. Dr. Buckner, you had mentioned before the break, in the last hour, that Islam itself is, at least according to the hadith and the Quran, quite racist, especially with regard to black people. And then BB mentions this fatwa issued by Muslims against Farrakhan, and yet Farrakhan said in the bite we heard from him before, look, we're all about Islam. Study Islam and you'll find out what we're really about. Is it true? Are these things true?
Well, let me say this, that the Quran doesn't really address the racism, but the hadith does. And I would respond to the caller by saying most Christians and most people who are non-Christians don't know anything about the hadith and the teachings that are there. So they know about the Quran and they hear all these wonderful things in the Quran about unity and people working together and so forth. But we need to bring to their attention about the hadith and the racist teaching in that and what Muhammad did. I would also say this, because this is a very important point, that the Nation of Islam, and Louis Farrakhan talks so much about, you know, we believe in Islam and so forth like that. But if he really believed in Islam, don't you think, and believed also in blackness, because he always talks about blackness and stuff like that. But really, when you think about the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan has moved them completely away from blackness to names that are called Muhammad, Kareem, and Abdul, and so forth. And if they really were into blackness, because this is something they emphasize too, that we believe in blackness and the black God and on, they would have names like Kunta Kinte for their blacks. But none of those names. They got racist slave names, racist Islamic slave names. So they deny blackness, and they also deny Islam, because really they are counterfeit of Orthodox Islam. They don't really represent true Islam. So when he says he's into Islam and study it, no, he redefines it.
To your knowledge, did the fatwa that Bibi had mentioned there when she called, did that actually occur?
There's some arguments that it did occur and some arguments that it didn't. So it's kind of like a debatable thing.
Dan calls from Santa Rosa, California. Dan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello there, Dr. Buckner. I'm wondering if leaders of the Nation of Islam and other groups that you mentioned, the eight ones, have philosophers, assistants, or theologians to help them develop their doctrine?
Thank you very much, Dan. Dr. Buckner, what do you know about this?
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to understand that theologians, we repeat the question again one more time.
Well, Dan had wanted to know whether or not the leaders of the Nation of Islam have people, theologians, philosophers, who help them develop their doctrines. Where did these ideas about scientists and the origin of the white race and the fact that Wallace Fard is the Messiah, God in the flesh, Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad is a Messiah. Where did these ideas come from?
Well, you know, the ideas did not come from theologians, and because they don't have theologians, and they don't even have sociologists and anthropologists. These ideas, that these mythological ideas, have come down through Wallace D. Fard, the founder of the movement, and they've come down through Elijah Muhammad, who has perpetuated it. So they concocted these ideas, came up with these myths to try to deal with race and try to deal with identity, because they have to come up with something different from the Christian view and what we believe, how we came about. So they don't have any theologians and any sociologists that help them with those views. You know, the leaders really pretty much concocted them together.
Dr. Buckner, before we go to this break, and we'll take more calls on the other side of the break, to what it sounds to me as though, at least to some degree, the Nation of Islam is a reaction against what Christians, Orthodox Christianity, teaches. That is, if the Orthodox Christianity teaches the Trinity, we're going to go the other direction. We're going to find something else to teach. Is that part of a way of understanding the Nation of Islam? 30 seconds before the break.
Absolutely, and I couldn't have said it any better than what you've said. And I would also even say regarding racism, white racism, what they have done, even with that, along with the other things you've said, they have reversed it. So now, rather than being into white racism, they're into black racism, and everybody in the Bible that were leaders were black and so forth and so forth.
Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. We'll take your phone calls as we continue our conversation. Let's hear from you and from our internet listeners as well at our website. Email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I'll get it all straight here in a second. Or call us 1-800-730-2727. The best callers get a copy of this book, is The Father of Jesus, The God of Muhammad.
First and foremost is that they have a greater understanding of what it is to be Christian, and more importantly, what it is to be Lutheran in this day and age.
Pastor Scott Clems of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about the goals for the young men who attend Christ Academy 2005.
Christ Academy allows high school men to become a full, equal partner in the life of the seminary for 2 weeks every June. They attend chapel 4 times a day with the student body and faculty and staff. They go to classes for 3 or 4 hours a day, regular classes taught by the seminary faculty and staff. They become tight as a community and join together in prayer and greater understanding of Lutheran theology.
For more information about Christ Academy 2005, call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155, or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Every year, Christ Academy hosts high school-aged men who desire to learn more about becoming a pastor. The 2-week event affords these young men the opportunity to immerse themselves in the day-to-day world of seminary life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They worship in Kramer Chapel, are instructed by the excellent CTS faculty, and enjoy time for recreation and getting to know other men who are considering becoming pastors. Christ Academy 2005 will take place June 19th through July the 2nd, 2005. Registration will open January 1st, 2005. To receive more information concerning this exciting opportunity, call 1-800-481-2155 or email christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu.
1-800-481-2155 or christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu.
You are one who has lived in rebellion against him. You have treated him as if he wasn't there, as if you had gotten rid of him. Sin ultimately is the attempt to murder God and get rid of him and put yourself in his place. We are unmistakably sinners, and there's no hope for us except if we're not going to answer for our sins. The only hope is that somebody else would.
In good preaching, the sternness of the law is always answered by the sweetness of the gospel. You'll find the solid preaching of both law and gospel in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Dr. Norman Nagel. The book is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the Scriptures, and we are faithful to Word and Sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the Word of God to be true, that we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that he's working through the water of baptism, that he's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155.
Do you find that you struggle for words when you pray? Are you unsure what to pray for? Do you fear praying for the wrong things? Do your prayers lack focus and direction? Do you feel unworthy to approach God in prayer? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a daily devotional titled, The Lord Will Answer. This resource presents prayers in one-page, easy-to-use devotions. The Lord Will Answer is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse on our website, issuesetc.org. The Lord Will Answer explains the six R's of prayer: recite, read, reflect, repent, rejoice, and request. The Lord Will Answer costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Lord Will Answer, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Nation of Islam with Dr. Jerry Buckner, Director of Contending for the Faith Ministries. You can check out their website by going first to our website, issuesetc.org. Right under the section titled Links, you're going to find a direct link to Dr. Jerry Buckner and Contending for the Faith Ministries. Or if you'd like to know how to contact Dr. Buckner, call our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. We'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Dr. Jerry Buckner and Contending for the Faith Ministries. That number again, 1-800-737-0172. Back to the phones. Herman in Illinois, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask Dr. Buckner, he mentioned early in the program that Wallace Fard was influenced by liberal Christianity. Would you be able to elaborate on that and explain that a bit further? And could you keep me on the line so I can hear his answer?
Herman, thank you. Dr. Buckner, go into a little more detail about Wallace Fard, the founder of the Nation of Islam, and as you said before, the influence that liberal Christianity had on him.
Yes, that's a very good question, Herman. I appreciate the question. Really, when you look at people like Wallace D. Fard and a lot of the cultic people that were before him, a lot of the black leaders during that time, you know, you can go as far back as even Darwinism. Darwinism really emphasized race because they were emphasizing that blacks had a They were racist because they said blacks had were a lower species and had smaller brains. And then Darwinism influenced Marxism, and Marxism influenced white liberalism, and white liberalism influenced black liberalism, and black liberalism had an impact upon these cultic leaders because they were so impressed with Marxism talking about race and class, and so they picked up some of those ideas, and it turned them away even more from the Bible. So they not only came up with their own philosophical thinking, but also liberalism came in there too and had an impact on them as well. So this is how I would assess that. I've gone all across the country and went out to the Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and did a presentation as a plenary speaker on the black liberalism, and then I'll be going out in May the 5th through the 7th to Calvary Chapel, Santa Fe, New Mexico, where Paul Scasafava's at, and I'll be a keynote speaker with Ron Rhodes and Elliot Miller to talk on black liberalism. But it has a tremendous impact upon cults as well as these early thinkers. And then it also has an impact upon people like James Cone, the father of black liberalism, as well as Cornel West and L. Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. So they have continued the same trend.
Does this also contribute to what you have mentioned several times here, Dr. Buckner, and that is the church's impotence to deal with the real lives, the real concerns of real sinners in this world? Liberal Christianity, with a rather shallow, empty theology, a low view of God's word, a rather high view of man's capacities, would not seem well equipped to deal with real life for either white people or black people. And ergo, as you pointed out many times here, the cults, sometimes even the more ridiculous cults, seem to have more substance.
That is so true. One of the things that I had challenge even Dr. Robert Morey on, we had a discussion on black liberalism, and he was finding all fault, and I was trying to get him to balance it out to see that even black liberalism has its pros and cons. For instance, black liberalism addressed the issue of the curse of Cain when the church was silent. Black liberalism addressed the issues of theology with liberalism, liberation theology, what I would say, because we talked about theology. When many of the white theologians were talking about just theology, the black liberals came forth and said, no, black theology is going to emphasize theology and liberation at the same time. So they had a tremendous way of contributing things, as well as they addressed the issue of racism when the church was silent. So even though they have a lot of strange beliefs, they have a lot of contributions. And when I do presentations, I bring these two out, and then I challenge even the white Christians in the area of its own racism and say, you got to do something about it, because a lot of the blacks even look at the word conservative orthodoxy as being racist, because sometimes conservative orthodoxy can be so into theology that it overlooks the social issues of our day. And so we got to balance out those two. We can't be strong in one area and weak in another, because, you know, the prophets of old and Jesus, they talked about justice all the time. Amos said in Amos 4 and 24, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Martin Luther King says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So we got to balance out the social issues of our day and the theological, because you can't be committed to theology and then ignore the social issues, because all great theologians who were really into the Bible saw the need to minister to the social needs, too.
Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our phone lines are wide open for the next 20 minutes. Your questions and your comments on the Nation of Islam for Dr. Jerry Buckner, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Walt listens and writes this via email, mentioning a name I do not find familiar. What role does Malik York have in the Nation of Islam or some sect thereof?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a new name for me. I'm not familiar with that name. I would like to, because there's so many names popping up all the time in the Nation of Islam, and I try to keep up with it as much as I can. But to be fair to the caller as well as the listeners, I would have to know more about that. I would love to have the person to contact me. You can I have a voice message number. Your people can contact me at 415-721-1778, 415-721-1778. Or even write me at Post Office Box 553, Tiburon, T-I-B-U-R-O-N, California. The zip is 94920. And just send that information, because anything that's new and pop up, I'd like to know. But it's a new one on me, just like you, Todd.
Listening in Macau, China, Chantry writes this. I just wanted to comment that I've never heard the Trinity, where we find the Trinity in Scripture, and a defense of the Trinity so succinctly and wonderfully stated as I just heard Dr. Buckner make on your program. So there's a little kudos to you, Dr. Buckner. I agree with him there. And he asks that you would please go through it again before the end of the program. The question I had posed to you was, what does the Nation of Islam make of the teaching of the Trinity? And you began by basically walking through the scriptural foundation for this teaching that many, both the Nation of Islam and mainstream Muslims, have a lot of trouble with. Do that again for us, if you would.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the caller. I have been called the Trinity Answer Man because I have gone to churches and Bible colleges and seminaries, and people have said the same sentiments. They have never seen a person break down the Trinity so well. And, you know, let me just say this, that the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but the evidence and the concept is there. It was coined by Tertullian, who was a Latin church father in the second century, and he coined the term Trinitas. When we talk about the doctrine of the Trinity, we have to first and foremost demonstrate not Trinitarian text first. We have to go to the basis of our belief first and demonstrate that the Bible claims that there is one God, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then we know from 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we also know in James 2 and 19, it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well, that the demons also believe and tremble. And so we see in Scripture that the Bible claims and teaches one God. Now, can we demonstrate that one God is called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? He's called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, starting off with the Father. Galatians 1 and 1 talks about God the Father raised him up from the dead. And then Philippians 2 and 11, I'm doing this all by memory, talks about every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then, where in the Bible is Jesus called God? We know John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know from John 20 and 28, Thomas says, it's so beautiful in Greek, O kurios mo, keo theos mo, the Lord of me, the very God of me. And he quoted from Psalm 7, 1 and 3, when David was running from his enemies, and he cried out to God and says, my Lord and my God. And Thomas quoted from there, referring to Jesus as Lord and God. And Jesus says, Thomas, because you see me and believe, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so we demonstrate also that Jesus called God from John 8 and 58. He says, before Abraham was, I am, quoted from Exodus 3 and 14. Now, where in the Bible is the Holy Spirit called God?
30 seconds here, Dr. Buckner.
We know from John 4 and 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And also Acts 5, 3 and 4, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they said he ended up lying to God. Then you go from there to Trinitarian text, and maybe we'll be able to talk about that later.
Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. We're talking about the Nation of Islam. When we come back, 10 more minutes in this conversation. He's pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship, adjunct professor at Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, director of Contending for the Faith Ministries, author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. When we come back, we're going to talk about some do's and don'ts for witnessing to members of the Nation of Islam, some things to avoid for the sake of having the truth heard and some things to definitely do when witnessing to the Nation of Islam.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Vicar Stephen Parks and his experience as a student at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Lots of institutions, you kind of sacrifice one of two things, and that's either the academic aspect or the practical aspect. And thankfully, at Concordia Theological Seminary, I have had a solid grounding in both of them. First of all, we see in chapel, we're able to hear the word rightly divided. We're able to see from our professors, from the faculty at the seminary, how law and gospel are rightly divided and applied to the students. We see how Christ is the sum and the substance of Scripture. And it's equally clear in the classroom as well, where the exegetical department is clearly and constantly emphasizing to us that Jesus is the center of Scripture. I see the same thing in the historical and the systematics department and the practical department, where we're taught how to not only tell people about Jesus, but how to actually bring Christ to them where they're at.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I mentioned before the break that Dr. Buckner has written an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. That'll be the subject for the last segment here. You can read this article for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Right under the What's New section there, you'll find this article, Witnessing to the Nation of Islam, by Dr. Jerry Buckner, and other resources on the Nation of Islam as well at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Buckner, let's begin with some caveats, some warnings that one might want to heed if engaged with someone they work with, someone they know in their family, who is a member of the Nation of Islam. What should we avoid as Christians when witnessing to members of the Nation of Islam?
That's a very good question, Todd. And first of all, let me just say that don't make the mistake of getting to your point too fast. You know, show a lot of patience and love. And don't get into just demonstrating that Jesus is God right away. Just emphasize the incarnation, because if God can appear in a burning bush, he can appear in human form. And don't use a King James version of the Bible. You notice that one of the Muslims called in and started tripping on that, because according to the teachings of some Muslim, King James translated this version and corrupted it. So use a good translation, like a New International Version or a New American Standard Version, because it'll shut down a lot of mess. Don't use any Bibles which marks have been made in it, because to a Muslim, they consider this as a disrespect of God's word. And this is a very important one. Don't use pictures of God, Jesus, or biblical characters portrayed as white with blonde hair and blue eyes. And don't get into the Trinity, but just share Jesus' life in your life and your testimony around that. Now, do build and develop friendship, because people got to remember now that a lot of these Muslims were born into it, and they're going to die in it. And so you got to build that friendship and show love and show patience and discernment and be yourself. Do be yourself. Don't try to be a Dr. Buckner or Billy Graham or a Todd Wilkins. Be yourself and be a good listener, and do confront racism and say that it's a sin. And also, this is a real critical point here, is that I wanted to say this earlier, but I didn't have enough time. When one of the callers called in, we were talking about Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, John 14 and 6. One of the things that's important to ask Muslims, even Orthodox Muslim and the Nation of Islam, both, they ask the question, was Jesus a prophet? And they will say yes. And then you ask the next question, can a prophet lie? And they will say no. And then you quote John 14 and 6. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if he was a true prophet and he prophesied John 14 and 6, we better believe it. And then also I would say this. This is so important. Elijah Muhammad, the second leader of the Nation of Islam, said something so profound at one time. he quoted from his book, and actually in the book entitled The Message to the Black Man, this is considered the Bible for the Nation of Islam, on page 18, he said, "The greatest hindrance to the Nation of Islam is the preachers of the of Christianity," close quote. I just want to say to the people that are listening, continue to be a hindrance. And they didn't say the black preachers are the hindrance, or the white, Latino, or Asian, or Native American. They said the preachers of the gospel keep on being a hindrance by preaching Jesus as Savior and Lord. Be that hindrance so that they'll find no peace until they find the Prince of Peace.
Here's another email from a listener, Dr. Buckner. Ross in Tacoma Park, Maryland. "As a deacon for my church, I remember leading prayer that the Million Man March be peaceful and without violence, although our church did not endorse or participate in the event. We knew that it was really a vector for promoting the Nation of Islam, as Minister Farrakhan later verified in his televised biography. Indeed, he stated that the bottom line for all of his work was to promote the Nation of Islam. With this being common knowledge, should a church link with this movement with the goal of addressing or solving the problem of racism in America? How should the church deal with connecting to the Nation of Islam, the Nation of Islam strong against racism?"
Well, this is the mistake that a lot of black Christians make. They feel that, you know, he's talking about racism, and we are talking about racism, so we should join because of that and because we are black oppressed people. But we have to always put grace over race. We have to put the black book over black skin and black feelings and black emotions. The scriptures must always dictate everything we do. And when we look at scripture, even back in Amos 3:3, he talks about how can two walk together unless they agree. And the Bible really talks about what fellowship has light and darkness. And the nation of Israel fell because they constantly mingled with the ungodly nations. And Jesus even addressed that. The apostles did, and the disciples, "Come out from among them and touch not any unclean thing." So I was on a radio program, and they were quoting a lot of the sayings of Khalil Abdul Muhammad. I was on a secular program debating with a lot of blacks out of Oakland, California. And I kept hammering the fact that scripture must supersede blackness and the black race and racism and all that, because if we don't stand on scripture, we have nothing to stand for. So you can't support a Million Man March who, with a false black racist leader, because it's against scripture, and that's what we stand with.
You say in your article in the Christian Research Journal, and this is really, if you don't mind, I'm going to use this later with proper citation, Dr. Buckner. You say, and I think this goes for Christians dealing with all unbelievers, you say, "In dealing with the members of the Nation of Islam, remove all offenses except the cross." What do you mean?
Yes, that's a very good point, and I didn't get a chance to say that, so I'm glad you brought it up. In other words, Christians oftentimes can become an offense because of the way they approach people. If they get into the flesh and do it their way, they will turn people off. The thing that should judge people is not us as persons, but the Word of God, the cross itself, because that's the greatest offense. And Jesus said, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. Offenses need be. The cross is the greatest offense." That in and of itself will convict a person to come to know the Savior. And so we need to stand behind the cross, stand with the cross, preach the cross, and then preach the blood of Christ. Because without the remission of sins, without the forgiveness of sin and the remission of sin, there's no forgiveness. So that's what I mean by that.
Dr. Jerry Buckner, thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you again, Todd. I appreciate you guys always thinking of me, and I always enjoy being with you. And God just bless you, too, and I look forward to the next program so I can share what God has given me to the people.
It's a pleasure for us as well. Dr. Jerry Buckner, pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship, adjunct professor at Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, director of Contending for the Faith Ministries, and author of this article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. Here's our mailing address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Use either of those to find out how to contact Dr. Jerry Buckner and Contending for the Faith Ministries, or to join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, our monthly donor program, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117.